like, I am a god, everybody says, who does he think he is? I just told you who I thought I was. A god. I just told you. Hello and welcome back to Better With Headphones. On this episode this week, we will be talking about one singular person, not a quiz, not a quirky music fact. Well, there will be in the episode, but this entire week's episode will be based solely upon the one, the only, Mr. Kanye Yeezy motherfucking West. We're going to be talking about his very early on albums, right up until his most recent album, and a bit tidbits about his personal life, little feuds he's had with people's spats, and hopefully you learn some quirky music facts on the way and things you didn't know about the albums. But before we drop into that, we're going to have a wee quick word from our sponsors.
This episode is sponsored by the Malcolm in the Middle complete series on Blu-ray from Frankie Muniz's point of view, because he can't remember any of it. It's a 20-minute Blu-ray. Oh, God. And we would like to thank Frankie Muniz. This is very... Oh, I can't even get through that.
What runs through your mind, God, when you're thinking of these sponsors?
I don't know. It's just the first thing that comes into my brain.
I mean, what a sponsor to get, though.
Frankie Muniz.
The full box set. Are you kidding? I thought we were only getting seasons 1-3, man.
Yeah, but it's only 20 minutes because you can't remember any of it.
Absolute privilege, that.
What's the box set then? Is it like 10 discs of 2 minutes?
Just 10 discs, yeah. Well, some are three, some are one. Just like,
you spend more time putting the discs in than you do watching the show.
There's trailers for every single disc, so you need to sit for like 15 minutes of adverts.
It's all just adverts in Frankie Muniz's head.
I can't
wait till we
anyway.
Do a deep dive episode on Frankie Muniz. Yeah.
Since we're going to be doing our first deep dive episode all about Mr. Yeezy, who's going to be up first? Kieran, I think it might be you, my love.
Well, you're wrong. It's not.
Oh, man. I'm an idiot.
I'm just kidding. Oh. You wanting us to just dive right in? Not go
just
for
dive
it?
Right in. Put your swimming trunks on. Get your...
Yee yee. Well, the first thing I've got on my notes was when Kanye, when he was younger, when he was about 10 years old, he moved away to China for a year to study. And when he came back to the Chicago scene and he found an interest in the hip-hop scene, the local hip-hop scene that they had. And he started working from there. He started working with a youth centre, and he started working with one of the producers that worked at the youth centre, and they would make beats for the people of Chicago. And he had his own signature style, which is called Chipmunk Style. And he's ever heard of Chipmunk Style before?
I've heard of Chipmunk.
I mean
the great British rapper Chipmunk. Oh.
Yeah, the one that done a high school tour, one.
The one that played at Stonelaw High School.
Shout out to Chipmunk if you're listening to this podcast.
He played at our school in about 2009.
He played at your school?
Callum, yeah. Stop being generous. You know you were in high school in 1946.
Callum, you literally fought in the Vietnam War.
You have the face tattoo to prove it.
Yes! Always got to get one in there. Sorry, oh, yeah. Keaton, sorry. But yeah, no, like, Chipmunk Style.
So Chipmunk Style is the style that he developed, and it's speeding up soul samples, like soul music samples. And he'd do that for local artists in the Chicago area, which is when he started getting into the producing side of his work. And from that, in school, he graduated from high school to the American Academy of Art, but ended up dropping out to pursue music. You know, Kanye dropout, making a slight link here. So when he started getting into the music scene, Jay-Z had found him, and he produced one of the songs from Jay-Z called This Can't Be Life. I can't actually say that I've heard the song.
I'm not the biggest Jay-Z fan.
I actually do quite like Jay-Z. I find something about his voice like quite alluring.
I mean, obviously one of the best rappers since rap has actually been out, Jay-Z. Also though, with that, Jay-Z had one of the best regarded rap albums of the world, The Blueprint, which was after Kanye produced on the song This Can't Be Life, ended up producing for Jay-Z on that album, and I think he produced four or five of the songs, which garnered Jay-Z absolute notoriety,
yeah,
made him one of the biggest acts in the world, and with that also propelled Kanye to that level where a lot of people were wanting to work with him at that point as well.
Oh man, The Blueprint is honestly one of my favorite rap albums of all time.
It's fully believed that The Blueprint saved Jay-Z's career, and the credit goes to Kanye West for that happening.
And that also opened the door for him to work with other artists like Beyonce and Alicia Keys and Ludacris as well.
Ludacris?
So he started producing for all these huge artists. He started getting a bit of notoriety with other musicians in the industry, and decided that he could do it himself, and decided that he wanted to pursue his own rap career and make his own music. But he struggled to get any recognition from any labels who didn't think he could do it for himself. So he tried to sign to Rockefeller, which is Jay-Z's production company, but they didn't think he could do it either. He tried to go out to a bunch of different record labels and try and get signed by them, but nobody wanted him. Eventually, settling back and signing to Rockefeller in 2002, which is when he released his first album, The College Dropout, which was also initially leaked beforehand, and Kanye added some other, you know, he made the drums a bit more better and just added some extra layers to the music. Obviously came out with The College Dropout. So we've all been listening to Kanye's music all week, trying to get a bit of a feel so we could do some research. So what's everyone's opinions on The College Dropout?
I really enjoyed listening. I've listened to some early Kanye in the past, but I'd never listened to full Kanye albums, and I had the time of my life listening to The College Dropout.
What a statement to make.
What a debut album.
Jesus Walks on a first album. A song of that calibre on a first album. It was just written in the stars that he was going to be massive.
Even the first main song that plays on it, We Don't Care, is incredible. And it comes to like the end on Family Business, which is just great as well. It's the production values on it is unbelievable.
And you can see on that album what I was talking about before, that Chipmunk style as well, where you could, you know, there was a lot of soul in it. Obviously at that time, that's when, you know, sampling became much more of a thing in music. It started to kind of blow up around that time, obviously I think attributed towards Kanye doing it as well. But his first album, it was instantly went to number 2 on the Billboard charts, 2.6 million sold, 10 Grammy nominations, and he won 3 as well of those Grammy nominations that year.
Jeez.
10 Grammy nominations. And this is because no one wanted to sign him. Even Jay-Z signed him reluctantly.
So what you're telling me here, Callum, is
I couldn't believe how good The College Dropout was as an album.
I unfortunately didn't actually get to listen to it because I was so engrossed in the albums that I was listening to for my portion of this week's episode, which I'll get on to later. But kind of, I'm probably actually after this going to go and listen to it based on Callum's one statement of I had the time of my life listening to it.
the beats that are on it are incredible. I know he produced the majority of the album. It just shows the mind that he has to create songs, get samples, the collaborations he has in the album as well. He knows what every song needs. And I read that when it leaked and he went back and changed a lot of it, it was the perfectionist nature of him. And you can hear that actually in the album.
You can hear as well, obviously, like I said, it was leaked to the album before. There is actually like versions of it online. I did listen to one of the songs off it, and you can see just some of it is quite subtle what he's done to it, but it just makes it so much more full and rounded, the album. And for a first album as well, I think everyone was probably expecting him to come out with an album, but in 2004, it just sounds like so ahead of its time as well. Like 2004, you're thinking, over here in the charts, it was stuff like Sugar Babes and, you know, all that kind of rubbish. And Kanye West is over there making College Dropout for a first album.
It came out in February 2004. It was originally meant to be August 2003, but the perfectionist nature of him got it delayed 3 times. He just wouldn't let it go out.
I've got a good question. If Michael Jackson was still alive, how good, because obviously we spoke about Michael Jackson like beatboxing songs because he writes all his music in his head. Right, ideally another weird creative genius. Can you imagine what would come out of the two of them put together in a room in a studio and they were told to bring out 4 songs together?
I'm surprised that there wasn't any workings between, I mean, there might have been, not to my knowledge anyway, but Kanye West and Michael Jackson. That would have been
you look at the collaboration. The timeline of them though, Kanye's real breakout to stardom was around about 2010.
Yeah.
With My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy, Michael Jackson died 2009.
Whoa, the timelines didn't come together. We'll go on to that now.
We'll come to My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy later on.
I'm going to move swiftly on now to his next album, Late Registration. Also winning him 3 Grammys as well. What are we thinking about the Graduation album?
The Late Registration album?
Late Registration, sorry. Yeah.
It has Gold Digger on it. What more can you say? Enough said. That song. That song's just perfect for Jamie Foxx as well.
Well, that is also another sample as well. It's an old song of... It was a gospel song, and there was a lot of tension between him doing that as well. There was a Ray Charles actually sung that song, and obviously Jamie Foxx played Ray Charles in the movie as well. But that was sampled from an old gospel song, and there was a lot of tension, obviously, with Kanye's music. It's a theme that keeps coming up as religion, and in his music and talking about religion, and that seems to be a thing with some of the samples of the soul music. You can see where he gets his influence from the church from as well.
Also has Touch the Sky on it with Lupe Fiasco. Going back to Late Registration, I heard the song and I completely forgot it was a Kanye West song.
There's so many songs from just listening to his stuff, I'm like, oh god, that is actually a Kanye song as well.
Yeah.
Late Orchestration as well came out just after Late Registration, which was orchestral album that with Kanye's music. And I listened to some of it and fucking blew my mind as well. Just the kind of genius to turn that album into an orchestral album is just phenomenal as well.
His early music is, and not to say his later music is bad, but the standards he set himself,
it's kind of it's like a completely different artist almost, I think, like, but he's like still like it's two phenomenal hip-hop artists living in Kanye West's brain.
You can see the moments in his career with the albums where certain things happen.
Kanye
West has this like amazing ability to channel his real life, everything that happens in his life around him and everything that happens in his mind to himself. He has this amazing ability to be able to channel it into his music, and you can even like from the beats to the lyrics to even the wee added bits at the sides of songs, little loops that play on things, everything about it, it resonates. I would say concept albums, but they're not essentially concept albums.
Biographical albums.
Yeah, it's so personal
and it's so well done.
Yeah.
And you can see through his whole discovery that it's like it's just a complete autobiography of his life from when he started out to where he is now.
Yeah.
But again, moving swiftly on, and probably the album that made him one of the best in the world, Graduation.
I love this album.
Such a good album. Anybody got favourites from the album?
Oh, what's the song? Is it? Quite look up, because I always think it's called Shatown, but it's not.
You've also got Stronger in it, which is his first. It's not really a collaboration with Daft Punk, but it's his first foray into working with Daft Punk.
That was the song that kind of, I mean, I'd heard some Kanye West before, but that song just blew up and was everywhere. And that was my first kind of moment of, who's this guy?
And first time I ever.
I was just going to say, I love Good Morning. I think it's such a nice start to the album.
Yeah.
And Abba Wonder as well is a class song.
The first time I ever actually knew about Kanye West and seen him was the Graduation album, when I was watching Alan Carr and Justin Lee Collins. Do you remember they used to have a Friday night show?
Yeah.
And Kanye West was on it and he performed Stronger. And it was around the time he wore those mad white sunglasses that looked like blinds.
Nice.
Yeah.
He played Stronger. And I was like, oh my God, what is this? I need to listen to this all the time. But seeing my favourite song off that album is Homecoming. That's the name of the song.
With Chris Martin from Coldplay as well.
Yeah. And I hate Coldplay. That is a phenomenal... I don't hate Coldplay, I just dislike them. But that is a phenomenal song.
Can I also just point out, during this time that he released this album, and this was kind of one of the big things that had happened in Kanye controversy kind of world, it was when he came out and said that George Bush hates black people.
That is one of the funniest moments ever, because Mike Myers is so taken aback by what's happened.
And what would you do? Like, how would you handle that? If you're Mike Myers and... Because, like, what do you say? You know what I mean?
Graduation album came just after he finished touring with U2, and he liked that stadium rock feel, so that's what he based the album off of. And the album came out the same day as 50 Cent releasing his album, Curtis. So it was a battle to see who would sell the most. And Kanye won by like hundreds of thousands. And that is seen as the end of gangster rap being popular because Kanye's new style had taken over. If it wasn't for this album coming out, you wouldn't have Drake, Childish Gambino. These artists probably wouldn't have been as big because of what this album did.
Crazy how we'd be talking about 50 Cent right now then, wouldn't it? And how 50 Cent was like this mad musical genius.
So the last album I'm going to talk about is... well, we're all going to talk about it anyway, is 808s and Heartbreak. I'm pretty sure it got delayed release as well, but it was around the time that Kanye's mum, who was also his manager, passed away. And you can see just on this album, it just completely changes his whole musical dynamic of what he was doing. Started using a lot of auto-tune, and the album, he kind of described it as pop art, which was the... It wasn't as critically acclaimed, this album, but it was a lot more personal kind of album for Kanye as well. Have you got any favourites, any songs, anything you want to point out?
I mean, Heartless is like...
That's good. Heartless was the first ever Kanye song I actually heard, and I remember that coming out and listening to it non-stop.
That and Love Lockdown as well. That was those two always seem to kind of coincide with each other for me.
I was listening to it last night, and I'd had a couple of drinks when I was listening to it. I got to the song.
A couple of drinks,
and I got to the song "Amazing" on it.
Right.
And seeing the chorus where he's just saying "Amazing" over and over again, and he's got the auto tune. To me, it sounds like Lewis saying it.
What?
It sounds like Lewis.
So wait.
Let me hit this up. It's amazing. So amazing. So amazing. So amazing. It actually does.
Fuck's sake, Lewis. You never told us you were on a Kanye West album.
Come on, listen, Lewis. I was like 8 years old when that came out, man. I didn't really want it. I wanted my privacy.
Fucking child star in our midst.
Plus, if... Yeah.
That song received a Grammy nomination as well, Lewis. Congratulations.
Yeah, I know. I remember I was there. I ran on stage.
Lewis actually went on stage with a bottle of milk.
Again, this album, you said it wasn't like as critically acclaimed, but I think in the years since it came out, it has received the acclaim that it probably deserved at the time. Again, it's the style of the auto-tune helped artists. I've got it here. It's B.O.B., Kid Cudi, Childish Gambino, Frank Ocean and Drake helped them come through and their style with a bit B.O.B.
The thing I always think about Kanye is even before he started using autotune, he would still sing as well, and he's not the best singer in the world, but there's just something about his voice, he's like doing melodic kind of stuff. It's just, and even trying to use an autotune as well, I've tried to use one like with heavy autotune before, and it's quite difficult because you hearing something completely different to what you're singing, and it just like kind of messes with your head. But it's just incredible the kind of way he uses auto-tune, and it's not even just for like vocal stuff, he like makes noises and all other kind of stuff as well. It's just amazing.
He knows what he's doing.
I think it's safe to say that, and it will probably get repeated quite a lot through this, is that Kanye West is absolutely fucking mental, but not mental in the way of he would just snap and murder like 9 people. I completely believe he could do that as well, but mental in the case of that the creativity that goes around that brain is just like second to none. Like you don't find that in a lot of people, do you know what I mean? And you need to miss something out with it. You can't have that and the personality of absolute rock star. So
you look through music, you look through some of the biggest stars ever, and you think of Michael Jackson, you think of Kurt Cobain, everyone's got, all the major stars had issues. And Kanye West, as we know, we'll get to, had a lot of issues, or has a lot of issues. And that's mental health issues, that it's hard to talk about it, but he is a genius when it comes to music. There's no denying he is a genius.
Yeah.
But going into this, I'd never been a Kanye West fan. We'll get to it. I'm a Taylor Swift fan, so I've never really liked
Good to have the other perspective on a
Amazing.
So, being a Taylor Swift fan, I didn't want to like Kanye West, and I just understood that he's a genius, could understand why everyone loved him, loves him.
I was actually quite similar to you. I didn't...
Who's putting Runaway?
Sorry.
Me.
That was me. Oh, no, wait, that was me. I don't know how I done that. I was actually quite similar to you, Callum. Even though Graduation is my favourite Kanye West album, I hadn't listened to anything past 808s and Heartbreak. like anything moderately new or modern until I listened to Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy, which I'm not going to talk about because I'll get on that in a wee bit. But yeah, after listening to these music quite for extended periods of time for this episode, I can honestly say that I'm actually quite a big Kanye West fan now.
When you listen to albums, especially rap albums, it's not just the lyrics you listen to. You listen to the beats, you listen to the production behind it.
Yeah.
And to know he'd made that, he did it, not himself, he has people that help him with it, but every idea is coming from him. It just shows what a creative mind he has to think of the music. And I've got, when it comes to talking about future albums, I've got a picture from the studio of what signs were up in the studio, of what you're not meant to do in a Kanye studio. I found this today, and I just would like to see the environment he works in to create it, what it must be like, and having all these collaborators around him.
Are you going to tell us what the signs say?
Yeah, it was when he was making Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy.
Oh, nice, okay, right, okay.
It's around this time. The next bit of Kanye West's music, which we'll get to, is different. There's now a change going to occur in Kanye West.
808s and Heartbreak was the kind of change I thought. It was the point when he started obviously using the auto-tune and just the influences that he had, the music, that the people that he inspired is like the continuation of the music that he's brought out after that point, or I think anyway.
Yeah, and I think it's safe to say that him as a person, he took a bit of a sharp left turn when his mum passed away.
Oh yeah.
And I think that's the sort of linear point of like the start when he starts to become the sort of Kanye West that everybody refers to as like Kanye West today. If that makes sense.
Will we go on to the moment where everything kind of changed? The public
I'm
perception.
I'm gonna let you finish, Callum.
Oh. So in 2009, on September 13th, 2009, at the Video Music Awards, Taylor Swift had just won Best Female Video for her song "You Belong With Me."
I don't think she should have won.
No, me neither.
Whilst giving her acceptance speech, Kanye West took the stage, took the microphone off Taylor Swift, and then proclaimed this.
Yo, Taylor, I'm really happy for you. I'm going to let you finish. But Beyonce had one of the best videos of all time. One of the best videos of all time.
Following that, the crowd began booing. Kanye flipped off the crowd and passed the microphone back to Taylor Swift.
Love it.
I don't think he flipped them off, did he? Did he not shrug?
He shrugs and then he just sticks the finger up to them.
Amazing.
I was looking it up and it said he flipped off the crowd and I went, I can't remember that. Watch the video and the camera, you can see him stick his hand up and the camera turns to someone else.
Like that's a cameraman that got like a 10k bonus.
Yeah. Because he knew Kanye West was gonna do something.
Just in his head, just like, he's gonna do something.
I think we talked about this before as well, but of all awards to go and contest, why is it the music video of all things?
He
was a creative and he, you know, artwork and shit and all the clothing lines, but even still, I mean, it's just fucking video of the year.
I don't think it matters what the award was, because I've said this before as well. I think he just got it in his head and he was like, I'm going to do it. The next award, I'm going to do it.
On the 10-year anniversary of the incident, the head of MTV at the time was doing an interview about it all. And apparently Kanye was sitting next to Beyonce going, you're going to win this, you're going to win this. And when she didn't win, he was filled with anger. And he stood up and Beyonce was just like, Kanye, sit down.
Just like a pure, like, angry fighting dog. Just like,
no, it's like when your pal's drunk and he's like, I'm gonna go a walk, and you're like, Callum, get back here. Callum.
He also said in the 2019 interview about it, the backstage scene after it was awful. You had Taylor Swift crying, you had Beyonce crying. Taylor Swift was due to perform 5 minutes later and she had to get ready and go perform You Belong With Me.
This is what I don't get, right? Why was she crying about it? See, at the end of the day.
In her documentary, she spoke about it and said that she thought the audience were booing her because they thought Kanye would be saying the right thing.
See, at the end of the day, but she still got the Grammy.
Wasn't it a Grammy?
No, sorry, she still got the VMA. Like,
to be fair, she was only 19.
Chucking their own shite at her for all she cared. All she had to do was stick the finger up at them and kiss the VMA.
The incident.
That's so stupid, man. I mean, fair play, she was not only like 19? Yeah, okay. Be confronted by Kanye West.
There's an interview with Taylor after it. There's an interview with Taylor after it where they're saying, like, someone asked her, were you a Kanye West fan before this? And she just reluctantly just goes, yeah, it's Kanye West. The incident was universally condemned. Before Kanye was kicked out of the show, Pink confronted him. No one knows what she said. She was just screaming at his face.
Yeah, she didn't say anything. She was just screaming.
Give her a reason.
President Barack Obama labelled Kanye West a jackass.
President B.A.
Imagine, I mean, that's coming full circle to what we're going to talk about later, but imagine Barack Obama comes out and calls you a jackass. I think you know you've done something wrong.
Kanye apologised for the incident the next day on the Jay Leno show. However, 4 years later, he stated he didn't regret it. And this is the genuine, true quote he said.
This never gets old.
It's only led me to awesome truth and awesomeness. Beauty, truth and awesomeness. That's all it is.
That's awesome.
Fucking love that quote.
Yeah, that's amazing.
I love it. I personally think that should be up there in the top 10 quotes of all time given by a public figure.
jumping forward a wee bit, just in this feud, 6 years after the incident, Kanye and Taylor were spotted at the Grammys, hugging, smiling, they were having a conversation. Kanye said the next day at the Grammys, once Beck beat Beyonce to Album of the Year, Taylor came up to him and said he should have went on stage to stop. And if you should look it up on YouTube, there's a video of Kanye going running up on the stage before going, nah, not going.
I
actually think I remember watching that when it happened.
Everyone's really worried. They see Kanye running off the stage and they're like, oh no, he's going.
Every award show he goes to afterwards, it's like a camera or someone just watching him.
He's like handcuffed to his seat.
I actually found a source that said what the words that were exchanged between Kanye West and Taylor Swift when they hugged. It was somebody that was sitting quite close to them. And apparently Kanye just said, listen, I'm really sorry that I've done that. Would you still have sex with me, do you think? And she said, yeah, I probably would.
We'll get to that song later. later that year in 2015, at the Video Music Awards, with everything going full circle, Taylor Swift presented Kanye West with the prestigious Michael Jackson Video Vanguard Award. During her speech, she said, so I guess I have to say this to all the other winners tonight. I'm really happy for you, and I'm going to let you finish, but Kanye West has had one of the greatest careers of all time, while also stating that time will tell if the White House will bring them together, and saying hashtag Kante 2020.
How ironic is it that the White House did bring them together, but not Kanye West and Taylor Swift? They just brought Donald Trump and Kanye West together?
That's what she meant.
Yeah. Yes, Donald Trump is Taylor Swift, though, if nobody knew that.
All the real fans know that. That's why Callum has a Trump tattoo. He says it's for his political career, but we all know it's because he's a Taylor Swift fan.
Yep.
He has a Trump Jr. 2024. He just won't tell us what it's about, you know.
He's got Ivanka Trump 2024, but we've tried to tell him that she can't run for president, but he just won't have it.
He's determined she's getting in. He said he'd do a coup of the whole American democracy.
Joe Biden's last policy is letting Ivanka run.
Trump's last thought was pardoning Chewy for getting the tattoos.
At this point, what came next in Kanye West's career was probably the most defining musical moments of Kanye West's career, which we will be discussing on part two next week.
That's right, it's a double episode, because it's too much information for my little ears to handle all at one time.
It's like those Doctor Who episodes that were two parts, and you get raging.
I hated that.
I know.
I hated it.
What? They were the best episodes, though.
No, they were, but I
the second ones were. Yeah, but when it's cuts, yeah. When like you get to the end of the first episode, and it's like next week.
I'm like fucking sitting in my nana's on a Wednesday night, man, with my jaw on the floor because I'm fucking out my nut.
You've been taking eckies and watching Doctor Who.
Doctor Who's on, and I'm just like that. You know how that moment everyone has when they like lean eagerly in the edge of the chair and it just cuts to black and says to be continued, and you genuinely feel like running into your telly?
How do you think it felt being a fan of My Name is Earl, in which the last episode said to be continued and it got cancelled?
Bullshit! I watched that the other day because I was trying to see if they actually came out with any more, because I didn't check, and then fucking watched it and was just raging to myself.
Do you know that Jason Lee was like a semi-professional skateboarder?
Doesn't surprise me.
I've always wondered this, right? How did somebody become a professional skateboarder?
It's just like sponsors and stuff.
Oh, right. On that note,
actually, just talking to skateboarders, have you seen Tony Hawk's been doing his own, doing the last tricks ever?
Yeah, that was sad.
Last time, sad.
Really? I was actually just about to talk about Tony Hawk because there was
Tony Hawk.
That's because he's like a 76-year-old man. Like, he can't keep just doing like 540s and dressing up like a skater boy.
Nah, man. If I see Tony Hawk and he's 86 and he's not doing kickflips, I'll fucking freak out. I'll tell you that now.
I like the idea that like Tony Hawk's like in his 80s and he's like in a wheelchair, but instead of like normal wheels at the bottom, it's two skateboards and he's like drifting around.
I seen a thing and it was Tony Hawk's best tweets. And if you haven't looked at them, you should really look at them. It's like Tony Hawk's like being spoken to in real life by people that don't realise he's Tony Hawk. Like, it was this guy at a drive-thru and he was like, oh, no way, man, you really look like that Tony Hawk guy, the pro skater. And he just kind of laughs and goes, ah, yeah, I know I do. And it happens to him like all the time. Like, people think he looks like himself and don't realise it's him.
Do you want to wrap up this week's episode?
Yeah, sure thing. Bye. Anyway, thank you for listening to this week's episode of Better With Headphones, part one of the Yeezus Bible. And as always, I have been Callum James McCulloch.
I've been Lewis McLeod.
I've been Kieran Brown.
And I've been Kanye West.
See you next week for part two.
Bye, guys. I'm